We are coming up to 2 years that I've been here. And so 2 years ago, we left Slave Lake, moved to Nanaimo, and in order to afford moving here, we had to get renters in our house that we could not sell in Slave Lake. Pray for oil, people. I'm just kidding. I got to remember where I live. That's right, it's Nanaimo. So we had renters come in, and the funny thing about renters is they may not necessarily use your house in the same way that you used your house. No, I don't mean that. That's not bad. One of the weird things about our last house, we never really used the shower in the upstairs area. We had a main bathroom. We never used the shower. There was no need to. But our renters didn't get the memo. And they started, crazy people, started using the shower in the upstairs. And that's where the drama began to take place. Because we didn't know something about our house for all the 12 years we lived there. Which is, that shower leaks. Leaks is probably the wrong word. You might be thinking drip, drip. I'm thinking more like whoosh, whoosh. And so when they'd use the shower, it would pour down into the basement. And there happened to be a bathroom right underneath. And the shower was right on top of the shower downstairs. And all this water would pour down the walls around the shower downstairs. Well, you can probably play this out and know exactly where this story's going. Sooner or later, we got a phone call. It said, your shower is collapsing downstairs. The tiles started fall off. In fact, we have a picture. Isn't this marvelous? So this was this beautiful shower that my father-in-law installed, and it's just falling, it's crumbling to pieces. Now, the good news is, you know, it was fairly minor damage in the grand scheme of things. The floor was fine, the walls were fine. We just had to remodel the shower downstairs, and obviously fix the leak upstairs, and so it was no big deal. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because this is often the way people think God deals with us. Is that God comes into our life, and he just remodels us. He fixes things up a bit, moves things around, puts a nice area rug down, maybe changes the drapes, cleans up a little bit. You know, that's kind of nice, right? And that's often what people think God is all about. God comes in to remodel our lives. But as we look at God's word, God does not come into the lives of human beings, to remodel them. He comes in to reconstruct them. To reconstruct them from the ground up, from the foundation up. So this is what I want us to take home today. The Spirit reconstructs, not remodels. Some people think God is like an enhancement, like taking a vitamin or having a protein shake. He just merely enhances what's already there. But really, when it comes to construction, the Holy Spirit rebuilds us. And if you're a believer here this morning, if you've already given your life to Christ and repented of your sins, what I'm about to tell you, the activity that the Holy Spirit has in our lives is already yours. He's already doing these things in your life. And if you are here this morning, and like I said earlier, if you're not too sure about this God thing, I'm glad you're here. I really am. I'm thrilled. Please come back. But if that's your situation, I want you to know that these are things that God wants to do in your life. He wants to reconstruct these things in your life. We are continuing on in our series about our life coach, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of what many theologians call the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit, all three make God. So when we address God, we are addressing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And most people know something about the Father, and they know something about the Son, but when it comes to the Spirit, don't know a lot. And that's the purpose of this series, is to help you understand your life coach. Because right now, our daily lives are greatly influenced by our life coach, the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited to bring this to you as I go through this list of things that the Holy Spirit is reconstructing in the lives of believers. I think you might be surprised. I think you might be pleasantly surprised at what the Holy Spirit is up to in the lives of believers. This is a really cool list, and I hope it inspires you to seek God more. All right, you ready?
Ready.
All right, good. Here we go. So number one, our life coach reconstructs our courage. Our life coach reconstructs our courage. It says in the book of Acts, the church became stronger, as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. There he is, there's our life coach. With the encouragement of our life coach, the church also grew in numbers. Now, what a lot of people don't know is the word encouragement literally means to give courage to. When you encourage someone, you give them courage. When the Holy Spirit encourages you, the Holy Spirit is giving you courage. Isn't that great? Anyone here in need of courage?
Amen.
All right, then you came to the right place. Now, I don't know about you. It doesn't say, actually, what the courage was for. Was this courage to serve the ignored? Was it courage to speak the truth about Christ? Was it courage to give generously? Was it courage to live out different values? Yes. All of that. Now, I don't know about you. I have never had a day in my life where I have said, I have too much encouragement today. And if you have one of those days, you walk away going, I am just way too encouraged. I'm going to have to scale back. I'm going to have to tell all my friends and family, please, please, less encouragement. Anyone have those days? Of course not. We live in constant need of more courage, more encouragement. And the early church clearly was a little timid. And then the Holy Spirit gave them courage to, as my son would say, risk it for the biscuit. Don't ask me to explain that much. But to take risks, to be encouraged, to take courageous acts, and maybe it was the courage to be authentic. The courage to just be themselves in a church like this. No pretense, no pretending. The courage to just say, this is who I am. All my faults and flaws, this is who I am. That takes tremendous courage. And every single one of us struggle to do just that. To be truly authentic. And to admit our doubts and our fears. For some of us, it might be the courage to serve. The courage to serve the least. The people most despised. It might be the courage to, as we talked a few weeks ago, the courage to confess. Oh, that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of courage to come before your brothers and sisters and to be upfront about the sin we have in our lives. And that's where our life coach comes in, to give us the courage to do all of those things and more. So, when you find yourself being vulnerable, when you find yourself sacrificing for the sake of others, when you find yourself walking away from the value system of this world, that is your life coach, follower of Jesus. That is your life coach helping you to be courageous. He is giving you courage. I could stop right there and be done. The very idea that our life coach is right now instilling courage in you, reconstructing this part of who you are. Before you came to Christ Maybe you were timid and afraid. But the Holy Spirit is building in you courage. Courage to be the person God designed you to be. The encouragement of the Holy Spirit. What a great phrase. Oh, I don't know about you. I need that courage. Number two. Our life coach reconstructs our sense of worth. Our sense of worth. It says in Romans, Paul writes to the church in Rome, he says, "We know how dearly God loves us." How? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit, our life coach, to do what? To fill our hearts with his love. You understand how important the role of the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer? His job is filling our hearts with God's love for us, to remind us of our worth. There is a direct connection, by the way, between who we deem worthy and how much we love them, which is, by the way, one of the great miracles God can give us is to see the value in every person. Because then we will love every person. One of the challenges, the struggles that we have as human beings is to feel worthy of love. Every single one of us. We fight and we claw to convince others that we are worthy of love. I know this because I do this too. And one of the ways that we fight and claw to convince others that we are worthy of love is by putting others down, by being critical of others. I know this is a personal temptation of mine, to be critical of others, is to say they are not worthy of love. And here's why. I'll give you the list. And in so doing, we are saying, I am worthy of love. Because they're not. That's the basis of judgmentalism. I am worthy of love, and they are not. When we get a sense of God's incredible love for us, and the value that he places on us, we become less and less and less judgmental. It's a beautiful thing. The more we are convinced that our worth is found in what God thinks of us, rather than in what others think of us, or what even I think of me, the less judgmental we can be. The message from the Holy Spirit is God loves you. The message from the Holy Spirit, listen, people. The message from the Holy Spirit is God loves you. He's repeating it over and over and over in our hearts, time and time again, saying, "You are so valuable to me. So valuable. So valuable, my son died for you. That's your value. That's your worth." If you have ever, oh, church, if you are a believer in Christ this morning, if you have ever gotten just a glimmer of God's love for you, you know there's nothing like it. You know there is nothing like getting a sense of God's love. And this is the Holy Spirit's job. Number three. So, what have we learned so far? We have learned the Holy Spirit's job is to give us, first of all, you guys really are paying attention, or you're reading your bulletin. Anyway, number two. We also found out the Holy Spirit's job is to reconstruct our sense of. And number three, our life coach reconstructs our sense of identity. Paul writes again to the church in Rome. He said, "You have not received a spirit." He's writing to the church now. "You have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit, our life coach, when he adopted you." He adopted you as his own children. Now, in the present, we call him Abba Father. Now, that's a strange word. I get that. But it's an untranslated word that means like Papa or Daddy along those lines. So the Holy Spirit now, because of his work, we can call God Daddy, Papa. For, and here's the big part, for his Spirit, our life coach, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are, what's our identity? God's children. The answer to the question, who am I as a believer in Christ? The answer to that question is, I am God's child. There is no greater identity than that. And you see this all around you, don't you? People searching for a sense of identity. I've talked about this before. People around us desperate to find an answer to the question, who am I? And they'll find that answer in their job. I am a carpenter. I am a lawyer. They might find it in their role in the home. I am a father. I am a mother. I am a spouse. They might find it in their sexuality or their appearance or their popularity or even in their political leaning. I'm a right person. I'm a left person, whatever it may be. Crazy stuff. And here's the thing about our identity, is whatever we declare to be our identity, that is what we will invest in the most. Think about the impact of how you choose your identity. If your identity is as a parent, you will invest incredible amounts of time and money and effort into your parenting, to the exclusion of everything else. And that could be the same with your job, with all those other things that I mentioned. But when your identity is, I am a child of God, then that is where you will invest the greatest parts of your life. Because that is central to who you are. And here it is, the Holy Spirit, our life coach, is constantly affirming in the lives of believers, you are God's child. You have been adopted. You are His. You are part of the family. You belong. The Holy Spirit allows us to go from an earthly identity to a supernatural identity. From a temporary identity to an eternal identity. And it's all based on relationship. Our whole purpose as human beings is to have a relationship with our Creator. A relationship. And it's that relationship that sets our identity. Our life coach is all about affirming that we are God's children. And it sets the course of our entire lives if we believe that is our identity. So, first of all, the Holy Spirit gives us, he reconstructs our sense of, and number four, our life coach reconstructs our sense of security. It says, again, in the letter to the Romans, Paul writes, "I pray that God, the source of hope," isn't that great? God is our source of hope, will fill you, the church, completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Man, I could build a whole message just on that, but we'll get to the second part. Then you will overflow with what? Confident hope through the power of the life coach, the Holy Spirit. Confident hope. I thought about that. You know, the idea of confident hope. We can, you know, get to our birthday and hope for a great present. That's a different kind of hope. That's a very insecure hope. Because, I don't know about you, I've been disappointed on my birthday a few times. It's not a slam. It's just reality. I'm pretty sure you could probably say the same, right? You've been disappointed sometimes. You've had a hope and things didn't quite work out the way you thought they would. Has that ever happened to you? But to have a confident hope. To have a confident hope is to know that something is coming. And it's just a matter of time. That is a confident hope. And that's what having a relationship with God is all about, is having a confident hope. Knowing that something better is coming, it's just a matter of time. It's not, well, it might happen or it might not happen. Oh, no, it will happen. It's just a matter of time. It's beautiful. And you know the people who need confident hope the most, I think, are the people who are suffering. And in this room and in this church, and in our lives are people who are suffering. Physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually suffering. If anyone needs confident hope, it is them. But I've noticed something really curious in all the years that I've been a pastor. Is that people react very differently to suffering. I knew a couple one time whose teenage son drowned. And it drew them closer to God. They depended on him. Oh, they grieved. Oh, don't get me wrong. They grieved. It's probably one of the most difficult things they will ever have to face. But it drew them to God. I've known other people where someone in the church said one word they didn't like, and they said, how could there be a God? I'm done. I'm out of here. And I found that our sense of joy, our sense of peace, is not about the source of our suffering. The source of our suffering is not the most important thing. It's our source of hope. Where does our hope come from? And when our hope is in God, we can have a confident hope so that when we are going through suffering, as some of you are, and the rest of us will, we can make it through because we have confident hope. The Holy Spirit reconstructs us from the burden of protecting ourselves to the confidence in his protection. That ultimately, everything will work out. I don't know if you've noticed, at the back of the room is an advertisement for VBS. Anyone read that? If you hadn't, I'll read it to you. It kind of struck me this week. It says, life is wild. I don't have to convince you of that, I'm sure. Life is crazy nutty sometimes. It can bring a lot of suffering. Life is wild. Anyone can attest to how wild life is. Yeah, yeah. But then there's another sentence. God is good. Life is wild. God is good. For a lot of people, they can't put those two things together. But when we believe in a good God, we can have confident hope that He will make things right because He is good. And this is something that our life coach is reconstructing in us. Confident hope, a sense of security that all things will work out, that we can trust Him. Imagine the difference that would make in the lives of people. To be absolutely confident. Oh, man, amazing. Okay, so, first of all, the Holy Spirit gives us, He reconstructs our sense of, He reconstructs our sense of, and He reconstructs our sense of, and finally, our life coach reconstructs our character. There's this little sentence, it's sort of almost a side thing that Paul writes to the church in Colossae, and it's really easy to miss. Let's see, it's really obvious when I put it just out there all by itself, but he's writing about Epaphras, some guy we don't know much about, has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. The love for others. And who gave them this love for others? Our life coach, the Holy Spirit. Where does this love for others come from? Oh, from the Holy Spirit, from our life coach. Now, who are these others? Is this other believers? Is it people outside the church? Who knows? Who cares? The point is, the Holy Spirit is giving love for others. This requires massive reconstruction. I'll tell you why. Because you and I naturally love ourselves. I can tell this is news for some of you. Right? We naturally love ourselves. If we are going to have a genuine love for others, that is going to take a whole reconstruction. That will not be a remodeling job. That is a tear it all down and start again kind of job. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit allows us to think not what is best for me, but what is best for you. From being selfish to being selfless. And in all of these things, the Spirit reconstructs, not remodels. So the Holy Spirit gives us courage, our sense of worth, identity, security, and character. All of those things. Imagine the life of a believer. Imagine your life. If all those things were dialed to where God wanted them to be for you. Imagine the decisions you'd make. Imagine the activities you'd be involved in. Imagine how you'd treat people. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. Are you there yet? I was not real enthusiastic, I gotta say. Sometimes believers don't act with courage. Sometimes they have a low sense of worth and a shaky identity, and they can be fearful and they can have poor character. The question this morning is why? If the Holy Spirit's job is to do all these things in the life of a believer, why don't all those dials just get turned to max immediately? Ah, that's a good question. And it takes us, believe it or not, it takes us to our vision as a church. Our vision as a church says everyone a servant, a faith trainer, a worshiper, and growing in grace. And the more I think about that list, the more I realize that the bottom one should probably be at the top. Now, you might not be familiar with the term grace, or you might have heard it in song, but you really don't know much about it. Grace is undeserved favor from God. It's something God gives to us that we didn't earn. A power, an ability, a perspective. We didn't earn. You can't get these things. Only God can give them to us by his grace. And for a lot of people, they associate grace with being saved. Certainly, that is an act of grace. We do not deserve to be saved, but God has given us salvation as a grace through the cross. Okay, you're with me so far. But for a lot of people, that's it. Grace stops there at salvation. They don't realize that's the beginning of grace, not the end. We need grace more and more and more in our lives. In fact, the more like Jesus you want to be, the more grace you're going to require. We never stop needing grace. We need God's ability to have courage, to have a sense of worth, identity, all those things. We need his grace more and more and more. That is why it is so important as a church that we are growing in grace. Not just our ability to give grace to others, but our ability to receive grace. That's what growing in grace is all about. Grace is not just about salvation, it's about following Jesus. So how can we do that? We already looked at all the great things the Holy Spirit is reconstructing in the lives of a believer. How can we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Here we go. First of all, how can we welcome reconstruction? Trust that courage, worth, identity, security, and character are yours. Trust is another word for faith. Have faith. That this is what God is doing, if you are a believer right now, this is what God is already reconstructing in your life. He's torn you down to the foundation, gotten rid of everything, and he's starting to rebuild all these different pillars. Courage, worth, identity, security, character, all of those things. He's rebuilding them. On a completely different foundation now. So trust that they are yours. Now, you may not always feel like they are yours. And we talked about this before. Feelings are fun to have along. They're great. They're really lousy leaders. Feelings are not reality. Feelings are feelings. The reality is this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, whether we feel he's doing it or not. I'm sensing skepticism here. Trust. Just trust him. Trust him. Now, one of the ways that we can trust him, we can emphasize this, by thanking God for them. So I challenge you, when you pray, okay, listen carefully. Because this is something you can actually do today. When you pray, thank God for the courage he's given you through the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the worth he's given you in the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the identity you have as a child of the King. Thank God for the security he gives you, that confident hope that you have in the midst of suffering. Thank him for the new character he's given you, to take you from selfishness to selflessness, to all about me to all about you. Now, if you did just that, that'll change your life. That is an incredible list of things that our life coach is involved in. Reconstructing me and reconstructing many of you. So trust that these are yours. Thank him for them, and stay dependent. Stay dependent. So much about growing in grace is about realizing our need. You see, as I mentioned earlier, there is a gap between where you and I are and where God wants us to be. And some of us are bothered by that gap, and some of us have just accepted that gap. If you are bothered by that gap, it will drive you to your knees and make you dependent on God. If you've come to accept that gap and just say, that's just the way life is, there's no need to pray. There's no need to worship. You're just fine on your own. What do you need God for? You've already arrived. Yay! But when you are dissatisfied with that gap, you'll want more of that courage, more of that worth, that identity, that security, that character that only God can provide. Because the truth is, you and I can't do any of those things. And that is why when Christ came into the life of a believer, he didn't remodel us. He didn't put up new drapes, change the carpet, tore everything down. Jesus said, those who are going to follow him must be born again. Born again. Not wake up from a nap. Be born again. Like everything new. A radical reconstruction is required in our lives. Spirit reconstructs, not remodels. There has to be a foundational change from the foundation of our lives being me to being Christ. And this morning we are going to implore God. We're going to tell God how much we need him. Now, so we're going to sing the song, Lord, I Need You. And you can sing the song, and the words can come out your mouth, and it could mean nothing. Or, this could be the cry of your heart. This could be your prayer this morning. That this morning you are seeing the gap between where you are and where you know God wants you to be. And you are saying, I need to grow in grace. Lord, more of your grace. I need you more. I don't want to stay stuck here. I don't want to stay in the same spot. I want you to grow me to become more like Christ. I want to follow Christ with all of my being. Not 90%, not even 95%. I want to be totally sold out to the cause of Christ. I want him to be my identity. I want my sense of worth to come from your love. I want my character to come from you, Holy Spirit. All of these things. Oh, we need God. I need God. May this be our prayer as a church this morning.